Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. You are about to hear from a man who has literally seen millions and millions of people come to faith in Jesus and who was given a commission from the Lord to see a whole continent saved.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know that Jesus said that there is joy in heaven among the angels? It means at the throne of God there's rejoicing over one sinner who repents, one sinner who turns from his sin and turns to God through Jesus for salvation. It's an amazing privilege. Many of us have had this privilege sometimes once, sometimes 10, 20, 30, 50 times to lead someone to Jesus and see them genuinely saved, genuinely born again. What if God gave you the privilege of taking the gospel literally to millions and millions of people, many of whom never heard the gospel before, and you actually in your lifetime got to see tens of millions of people turn to Jesus? Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I've got a guest. Boy, if I could talk to anyone in the world to tell us about leading people to Jesus, to tell us about the power of God delivering people from sin to salvation, it would be our guest today, Reverend Reinhard Bonnke. I'll be introducing him to you in a moment. Thrilled to have him with us on The Line of Fire. I may be able to get to some calls during the broadcast. If you have a question for Evangelist Bonnke, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or you can put your questions on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Reverend Bonnke actually launched a Facebook page recently. We'll tell you about it. It's got almost a quarter of a million people listening to it, watching it on a daily basis. And I'm going to give you some quotes from my dear friend, Reinhard Bonnke, in a moment. But for those of you just tuning in, this is Michael Brown. This is The Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, where we believe as Jesus transforms people, those transformed people can go out and transform society, where we believe the kingdom of God really does make a difference in our everyday lives and in the nation in which we live. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus, saved in 1971 as a diesel gas huffing, LSD using, heroin shooting, rebellious Jewish rock drummer, saved at the age of 16 and now going on 40 years in the Lord. My brother Reinhard's been preaching and ministering for over 50. So we've got a lot to rejoice in today. Again, let me welcome all of our first-time brand-new listeners in New York and D.C. and Houston and Boston, Miami, at WMCA, WAVA, KKHT, WEZE, WHIM. Thanks for joining us today on the broadcast. Let me read some Reinhard Bonnke quotes to you, and then I'll be introducing him to you shortly. Moses, armed with a shepherd's crook, fought against the greatest military power on earth. Moses said, "Who am I?" But God said, "I am who I am," Exodus 3 and Exodus 4. Who he is, that is what matters, not who Moses was, nor who we are. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Where Moses walked, he left the footmarks of God. Come on, these are great quotes. These are from Reinhard Bonnke's web page on Facebook. We've got it linked on our site, so we'll tell you exactly how to get there. How about this? How about this? Here is an open invitation for Junior Partnership to work alongside Jesus, and he works on a cosmic scale. The Lord unrolls the blueprint for an unprecedented project, the whole world washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. You may not feel that much of a saint, but if you want to be in on it, just say, "Here am I, send me." Okay, right after our break, which is coming up in a minute, I'm going to introduce to you Reverend Reinhard Bonnke. Again, a dear friend, co-worker, one of these saintly men that I consider it a privilege to know, consider it a privilege to live in the same generation with them, and I don't say that lightly. And if you're praying for loved ones to be saved, this will encourage you. You're praying for your community to be saved, this will encourage you. Also want to remind you that we are in the midst of a time of great upheaval and shaking and pain in the world. A lot of people focused on Japan and the tragedy there. Later this afternoon on my website, AskDrBrown.org, we'll have a two-hour debate with an agnostic about the problem of suffering. You'll be able to watch that, get my perspective on how we deal with tragedy like this. Okay, back in a moment.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends. Michael Brown here on The Line of Fire with my special guest, Reinhard Bonnke. If you've got a question for Evangelist Bonnke, I may be able to take some calls later in the show, 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire for a link to Reverend Bonnke's website, his Facebook page, and his extraordinary biography, Living a Life of Fire. Reinhard, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on the program today.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's an honor for me.
Well, it's our joy and privilege to have you with us. You have preached, as far as I can tell, to more human beings than anyone else who ever lived. Do you think that might be a fair estimate?
Well, I would never claim that, but the figures we have. The people we have been able to gather and the counts that were made, not just estimations, are absolutely awesome. And since every human being is one reason for whom Jesus died, the more people we can gather to hear the gospel, the better and the happier.
And you had one meeting in Nigeria where it was recorded. People actually handed in cards and prayed that 1 million people turned to the Lord in one service in Nigeria. Is that true?
Yes, that is absolutely true. I was bowled over. That day, 1,600,000 people attended the service that was in Lagos in Nigeria. We had 200,000 counselors out in the field. They're always among the people because we can call nobody forward. And when the count was made, I only received the figure the following day because it took a long time to count the completed decision cards after they had been handed in. There were 1,093,000 and something. It was in fulfillment to a prophecy that God had given to me about 20 years earlier through Kenneth Copeland.
And what was that prophecy?
The prophecy was at that time when I met Kenneth in South Africa, I had never preached to a bigger crowd than 50,000 people. So he prophesied that the day would come in which I would see 1 million souls saved in one meeting. And my own team member said, you know, maybe God meant in one crusade, that is always 6 days and not just one meeting. I said, no, God said one meeting, and I believe it will happen in one meeting. And this is what happened in one meeting. It proved to me how God can shrink time to bring the harvest in.
Mm. And to get a crowd that big, I know the government estimate, they put it at several million people, and your count, done very accurately scientifically, said 1.6 million people. But folks may be listening and wondering, they're used to things in America where we have all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of special things to bring the people in. What kind of gimmicks do you use to draw such large crowds there in Africa?
Well, there are no gimmicks. I don't believe in gimmicks, and I also don't believe in exaggerations. I believe exaggerations are another form of lying. I have been very conscientious in counting our crowds right from the day I started, and we soon learned how to count a crowd. I have one very special man of God, my right-hand man, in the team, Peter Vandenberg, and when the preacher preaches, he roams the field where the people are, and he measures the density of the people. I, from the platform, cannot see the gaps between the people, and may easily say, here are 3 or 4 or 5 million people, whereas there are only 1.6 million people. But he measures the density in different areas. We know we have the exact dimensions of the field, and then in the end we have, I believe, a correct number, plus minus 5%.
And then really the question is, when so many hundreds of thousands, millions of people, through your own ministry documented, well, over 50 million people turn into the Lord, someone might say, well, what's the fruit? I mean, these big meetings, the crowds go away. Is there any result in the churches? Is Africa looking any different after all the decades of gospel preaching there?
Oh, I am absolutely sure of that. I feel the reverberations from crusades that I've had 20 years ago, just the other day, right here in America. Actually, it was in Houston. An African gentleman came to me and said, I was a Muslim. Jesus saved me when you were preaching in Kananga, in the Congo. Today I'm a pastor here in America. And this is just one. It's everywhere. And it makes my heart rejoice. The follow-up is extremely important to me. Because evangelism that doesn't lead into the church is not evangelism. I think it's just a shot into the air. That's why we put so much emphasis on cooperating with the existing Bible churches. They are all part of our crusade. We draw our counselors from their churches. So there are already connections there. 51% of our gospel campaign costs are just for the follow-up program, not just the literature, but also the training, etc., etc. These people, all those who have received Jesus as their Savior, are then referred to one of the Bible-believing churches close to their homes. And very, very often, the counselors are staying in touch with them. And we have had reports, they are beyond anything anyone can dream, how sometimes thousands of people descended on a church, their little follow-up book in hand, lifting it up, saying to the pastor, "Here I am. I am now a sheep of your church. I got saved in the gospel crusade, and here I am." It's heaven will show. Heaven will show the true results. And we are already rejoicing here on earth.
Praise God. Yeah, I remember watching a video about the fruit that remains produced by your ministry that I showed to our ministry school students. In fact, one of our ministry school graduates is now standing in the very same platforms that where you've stood through the years in preaching. Maybe we could talk about that in a moment. But we've got about 1 minute before the break. How old were you when you had a sense that you were called by God to preach? And did it affect the way that you began to live your life?
Well, I'm the son of a pastor. I heard the gospel very early. I was 9 years of age when Jesus saved me. And when I was 10, just a boy of 10, in a meeting, I heard the call of God saying, "Reinhard, when you are grown up, you are going to preach the gospel in Africa." It was so clear. It was so strong, so powerful. I jumped up. I ran forward. I put my arms around my dad. I said, "Dad, God has spoken to me. When I'm grown up, I preach the gospel in Africa." Michael, this call was so clear that as of that day, I directed my whole life towards that goal, to one day be in Africa and preach the gospel there. I've never been able to doubt this call, and here I am now, turning 71 years of age next month, and still busy.
Praise God. All right. Thank you, sir. We will be back with more with Reinhard Bonnke. Friend, prepare for your heart to be stirred. This is a man with a single focus who has seen God shake a continent.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm holding in my hands a very cherished book. It is signed by the author, Living a Life of Fire, Reinhard Bonnke, an autobiography. Reinhard, as my wife Nancy was reading your book, she was just telling me page after page and then sharing quotes with me. And obviously, you talk about your whole upbringing, the war years, the hardship with which you grew up. Folks are just going to have to read the book to get all of that. But when was it that God gave you the word, Africa shall be saved, and began to speak to you about a blood-washed Africa?
that happened after, I felt after a catastrophic happening. I was already a missionary in Africa, together with my wife Annie, in a tiny country called Lesotho. And I had traveled half the day into the mountains, partly on foot, because there were no roads. And when I arrived in that church, a straw roof church, and mud benches, the benches were made, were actually mud walls, kind of, which were meant to be benches. To my surprise, only five people were there. And I preached my heart out. And when I made the altar call, none of them wanted to receive Jesus as Savior. It broke my heart. I cried out to God. I said, Lord, you know that I'm willing to give my whole life for the salvation of these precious people here. But they are not interested. They don't want to get saved. And no matter what the effort, it just doesn't seem to work. Where is the effect of the glorious gospel that I hold here in my Bible? And I fasted, I prayed, I fasted, I cried out to God. And then in the night, God gave me a dream. I saw the continent of Africa, all of it, including the huge islands around it. And I saw how Africa became washed by the precious blood of Jesus. And I heard a voice cry out, a voice that went through my bone and marrow. I can still hear it sometimes in my dreams. Africa shall be saved. I woke up. I said, oh, this is so wonderful. But then my brain began to tick again. And I said, well, my ministry has no impact in this little country called Lesotho. Now I hear Africa shall be saved. This doesn't rhyme. This doesn't rhyme. I must have eaten bad bananas last night. But God in his graciousness gave me that dream in the four following nights. And four times I heard that voice cry, Africa shall be saved. And as of then, that after night number four, I said to my wife, I think God is trying to tell me something. I had learned the lesson. And wherever I went, I asked the people, did you hear already? What? Africa shall be saved. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. I was just full of it. And I felt I had seen horizons that God has. I had seen plans that God has far superior to anything I had ever dreamt. And to cut the whole big long story short, I eventually and soon after that, left Lesotho. I moved to Johannesburg. I founded the ministry called Christ for All Nations, and I didn't know how to start. I felt like a speck of dust drifting in the universe. I said, Lord, here am I, but I have no clue how to start. And then God stepped in, and he showed me how to start, and I'm still busy.
Praise God. Friends, this is Michael Brown with Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for a link to Reinhard Bonnke's extraordinary autobiography, Living a Life of Fire, link to his website and to his Facebook page, which we'll tell you about in a moment. All right. Let's say somebody looks at this rationally, this in the natural. It's really irrational to deny God, but Africa shall be saved. Come on, Africa has a lot of Muslims in it, and Northern Africa is heavily Islamic. Have you seen, over these decades of preaching in Africa, have you genuinely seen Muslims turning to faith in Jesus? Is that actually happening on any kind of wide scale?
It happens. I have seen Muslims in my meetings by the hundreds of thousands. To give you a very pointed answer to that, I have had a gospel campaign in the city of Khartoum in Sudan. And that happened because of an invitation I got from a government minister. The government at that time wanted to prove, I think especially to America, that it had religious freedom. And they told the few Christians there in Khartoum that they were allowed to invite a preacher of their choice from anywhere in the world. I don't know how they came to me, but I was invited, and I went there. I thought we would have a very small crusade. I thought if we would have 10,000 people maximum in one meeting, it would already be a great success, because Sudan is Islamic. And what happened was the first meeting came, and there were already 30,000 people. 30,000 people. When I prayed for the sick after preaching the gospel, we pray for the sick. Miracles happened. A deaf mute, a young man of 20, who had been struck by lightning 5 years before, a happening where his father died, and he lost his hearing and his speech totally. He got a beggar's pass from the government. They assigned him to a street close to the university where he could beg, and the young people would have mercy on him. His name was Omar Mohammed. He came to the meeting. He couldn't understand a word. And when I stood on the platform and prayed a general prayer for healing, just in the name of Jesus, deaf ears and dumb mouths open. Omar said afterwards, lightning struck me for the second time. He was thrown to the ground. His ears heard a gigantic explosion, and his voice was back. He spoke perfectly and heard perfectly. After 5 years of total silence, the doctors had said lightning hooked his hearing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining me today on The Line of Fire. My special guest, Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, a man that I believe has preached the gospel to more human beings than anyone has ever lived. This much we know, tens of millions of people, animists, lost people of every kind, Muslims, those professing Christianity who didn't know Jesus, have turned to faith, have been born again, have truly been liberated from their sins through the gospel of Jesus that God has entrusted to Reinhard Bonnke. He is the author of an extraordinary autobiography, Living a Life of Fire. 600-plus pages. One of our friends just couldn't put it down, read it through in one sitting in one day. He's also launched a Facebook page. Reinhardt, the Facebook page may surprise people a little bit. How in the world did you, evangelist Reinhardt Bonnke, end up on Facebook, and what do you do with this page?
Well, my personal assistant, Andrew Colby, made me aware of it. He asked me if I knew what Facebook was. I said, I have no desire to know. I don't care for these things. He said, just have a look. And suddenly when I saw it, I realized Facebook is a pulpit. Mm. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak in my heart and say, feed my sheep. I started that very day. That was in June 2009, I think, 2008? Well, 2009. It was 2009. And it has become a ministry to me. I just now I look at this page. I've got 236,552 people who have logged in, and they are scattered across the whole world. Of these, about 100,000 from the U.S., the rest from the rest of the world. To me, this is a ministry. I get up 4 o'clock in the morning and pray, and I give my first little message. Just 420 spaces are allowed on the status line, and it actually is a blessing that I have to condense the truth just to four lines, but it works, and the responses are fantastic. And I believe anyone who cares to read them will have some extra word from heaven, from God.
Yeah, here's one of your most recent quotes. Jesus only asked for trust and love, not ritual. He demands no pilgrimage, no visits to holy shrines or places. Christians need no holy clothes or special physical posturing. Christianity is of the heart, not the knees. Go, friends, to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. There's a link to Reinhardt's biography, his autobiography. There is a link also to his Facebook page and website. We've got a couple minutes before the next break, but we cut out right before the end of your story, the end of the first half hour, about Omar Mohammed in Sudan. So he had been struck by lightning, deaf and mute. His father died in a lightning strike. Now the power of God struck him. He spoke and heard. This is in the Muslim country of Sudan?
Sudan. But my real point is this, Michael. When a Muslim, deaf and dumb, gets healed, so dramatically healed, and goes home that night, the next day the whole clan of that family will be there. And our crowds in Khartoum, in Sudan, jumped from the first day of 30,000 in attendance to over 50,000 in attendance the second day, 80,000 the next day, 130,000 the next day. The last day, the chief of national security came into the building and said, Mr. Bonnke, there are 1 million people waiting outside of you. Mm. You see, what attracts people of other religions is not our clever preaching, but it is the power of God.
Amen. All right. More from Reinhardt Bonnke.
It's fire we want, for fire we need.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Welcome to all of our first-time listeners on the broadcast. It is our goal to serve you day by day as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH. If you'd like to get a question to Reverend Bonnke, I may have some time to take some calls before the show is out. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for today's broadcast, as well as information on the autobiography, Reinhard Bonnke, Living a Life of Fire, and links to his Facebook page and website. Reinhard, I want to set you up with this question, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about these things in a way that inspires my heart, stirs me, builds faith in me than when you speak about them. But could you just tell our listeners about the power of the name of Jesus?
Oh, that is the name above all names. It is absolutely matchless. There is no comparison with anybody. And one day, at that name, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And the name of Jesus is the key. The gospel hinges on the name of Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. Jesus didn't. The gospel is not the gospel of reformation. It's not the gospel of renovation or decoration. It's the gospel of liberation, and the heart of it is the name of Jesus. It has stirred my heart more than anything ever when I was standing in front of a million people, and suddenly that gigantic crowd began to roar the name of Jesus. Mm. Jesus, Jesus. Tears were flowing out of my eyes. Jesus, Jesus. It was as if heaven had come down to kiss earth. It is the only name by which we can be saved. There is no other name, and there will be no courtesy thrown for any other God in heaven. It is God Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit, and we shall be with him forever and ever.
Mm. You have, as you've seen, God move mightily in Africa through these decades. You can come into a city now. Kings of that region will welcome you. Political leaders of that region will welcome you. Crowds will come out for the motorcade. This is after years of sowing with almost no people coming to listen, fasting, praying, crying out. Does that ever get to your head? Do you ever think of yourself, wow, look at what I've accomplished. Look at who I am. Look at these crowds coming to welcome me. Does that thought ever cross your mind?
Well, I think that is a human thought. But having started the way I have started, below zero, and having preached even then, when I preached to five people, the gospel with the same dedication, the same purity, and the same power, and not having seen any result at that time, and now seeing such enormous results, I know that I am not the secret. I know that the secret is in the message, is in Jesus, is in the moving of the Holy Spirit. And what thrills me, Michael, is actually when people hear my name or speak my name, they are thinking about Jesus. If I'm popular, I would very much love to turn that popularity for the people to come to know Jesus, because that is the bottom line, and that is all that matters. I don't somehow believe that people come to make me great. Because Jesus is in the foreground, I am in the background, and I think that's all what counts.
And you know, I don't mean to embarrass you, but the times that we've spent together draw me to Jesus. When the day is over, I'm thinking more about Jesus. And when you preach Africa shall be saved, I hear the amen in my heart, and I hear the Lord shouting to me through his written word as well, Israel shall be saved. So yeah. So my faith is always built and stirred. We have so many pastors in the body today. We have so many teachers. It seems that we have precious few evangelists. What could you tell those that are listening that feel called to the ministry of an evangelist? What tips could you give them?
I also feel that let me put it this way: the hub of the wheel is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. It's the cross of Calvary. That is the hub. Now, a wheel has got more than a hub. It has got spokes. And I feel all other doctrines will find their rightful place in the wheel as long as the hub, the axis, is in the middle. There's the rim, there are the spokes, there is the hub. And every pastor, even if he has got a teaching ministry, needs a cross hub in his heart. Have an evangelistic edge at the same time, because we are not just increasing the body of Christ by shifting people within the kingdom of God. They've got to come not from light to light, but from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. We need that evangelistic heart, that cutting edge, the hub in the middle, and all other doctrines have their rightful place, and they are all needed.
So that must be the focus. You said at the end of the last segment that people don't come to hear clever preaching. So it's the name of Jesus exalted and the power of the Spirit. You haven't found a formula that works any better than that, have you?
No, that is it. We bring Jesus to the people. When people come to hear a servant of God, they should be able to watch him burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
And you have seen things that many people would question. Could they really happen? Blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, even reports of the dead raising. One of my friends who's a physician was in some of your meetings in Nigeria years ago as one of the doctors to verify miracles and testimonies there, and said it was impossible to get to all the people with all the amazing things happening. All sure. Glory to the name of Jesus. Do you think there's a reason, we've got about 2 minutes before a break here, do you think there's a reason we see so much less of that here in America?
Well, I don't know. I think not every harvest field is ripe at the same time, but it definitely is. Africa is ripe for the gospel, and I have a nose that can smell ripe harvest fields. And I would like to follow that nose, because somebody has got to go, even cross the continents, and win these people for Jesus Christ. Their faith is so childlike. I believe that Jesus has got a great chance to show his power in these people's lives, and we reap while it is day and while it is reaping time.
Praise God. My guest today on the Line of Fire, Reverend Reinhard Bonnke, a gifted evangelist, a man who has taken the message of the name of Jesus around the world. And some of you listening come from different backgrounds. Some of you come from charismatic backgrounds, some non-charismatic backgrounds. What you need to understand is this is not some TV show. This is not some charismatic sensationalism. This is a matter of taking the gospel of Jesus, Christ crucified and risen, to people who've never heard the gospel before, to people who've only heard a form of religion, declaring Jesus, declaring the living God, and he comes and touches people dramatically. Reinhard Bonnke, author of a new extraordinary autobiography, Living a Life of Fire, a must-read. It'll build your faith. It'll stir you if you get hold of it. And his Facebook page with almost 250,000 folks following it now. Go to askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for more information on Evangelist Bonnke's ministry. When we come back, Reinhard, I'm going to ask you to preach maybe a 3 or 4 minute sermon to those who are listening who may not know the Lord or who may be away from God, who may have needs of their own. I'd love to turn Evangelist Sponky loose on all of you listening when we come back right here on the Line of Fire.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, folks, for being with us today on, to me, a very special broadcast as I'm joined by a dear colleague, fellow soldier, and friend who inspires me and raises my faith, Reverend Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard, before we turn you loose to just bring a short message through this pulpit, through our airwaves, there's a young man, Dan Kalenda, who is taking over a lot of the preaching in Africa for you. He's a graduate of our ministry school. Is he seeing the same kinds of results that you've seen through these years?
Yes, yeah. Daniel Kalenda is a fine young evangelist. God showed him to me and said, the anointed must be appointed. He joined my team, and he is now continuing the work. He's not yet even 30 years of age and has already led 10 million souls to Jesus. He sees the same miracles. He sees the same crowds. And has the same results with regard to people getting saved. I think this is an absolute miracle and absolutely wonderful.
And it reminds us that it's Jesus who does the work. So
yes.
Please take a few minutes, this pulpit, which goes all over America and folks listening through internet all over the world, share the gospel with us, please.
Yes, and I just would like to speak about Luke 15. The story of the prodigal son. We know that the younger son left his father, went into a faraway city, and wasted his substance with riotous living, etc., etc. And when he arrived at the farmer's place, watching pigs, he said, "I die of hunger, but my father has got so many servants. I will go home and say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Make me one of your hired servants." Then it says here, when the father saw him, his silhouette on the horizon, he ran. He ran. I knew the father must have been an old man, of course. And I know old men don't like to run. I asked myself, why did the father run to meet his son? And suddenly I saw it. I really saw it. When the father saw how his son was staggering towards home, pausing again and again and again, he suddenly was afraid. Why is he pausing so often? Maybe he's not quite sure. Maybe he is going to turn around and walk back to the pigsty. That father could not allow. That's why he ran. And he ran. And when he had met him, he embraced him and he kissed him. And this is a picture of Jesus. I want to say to everyone, if you take one step to Jesus right now, Jesus will take 10 steps towards you. He will run towards you because he loves you. And another thing that struck me here is this. The father didn't ask the son what sins he had committed. These were the suppositions of his brother. But the father didn't even want to know. And then it struck me. Jesus didn't come to shame sinners. He came to save sinners. This is the same Jesus that is just confronting you wherever you are. If you are a backslider, slide back to Jesus. And if you are not yet saved, let Jesus embrace you. Call upon his name. He will save you this moment. God bless you.
Thank you, dear brother. Friends, if that's you God's speaking to, You need help. You need ministry. Right now, give us a call, 800-278-9978. 800-278-9978. If you need prayer, give us a call, and one of our counselors will get you someone that can speak with you, pray with you, minister to you. I had the privilege of spending time with Reinhard Bonnke over these years, seeing the genuineness of this life, and seeing a man addicted to souls and addicted to Jesus. Read his book, Living a Life of Fire. Sign up to be part of his Facebook family. Get edified multiple times a day. Thank you so much, Reinhard, for taking time to be with us. You have blessed us again, and you have blessed me. And I've got a free copy of my new book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, that I'm going to send your way. I know you've had a burden to see people made whole on every level.
Amen. Thank you very much, Micah.
God bless you. Friends, can I encourage you, read the book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God. It's time to rock the boat. These two books of mine have been out of print for some time. We put them back in print. Two books for the price of one, actually the discount today. Whatever Happened to the Power of God, it's time to rock the boat. These will stir you. These will stir you. Give us a call, 800-278-9978. 800-278-9978. Whatever Happened to the Power of God, it's time to rock the boat. Two books together in one. I would love to put these in your hand because they will ignite something in you. And if I could give you one scripture for the day, I wanted to do it at the top of the last half hour, didn't have a chance to. If I could leave you one scripture for the day, it's this. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. And you and I may have differences on all kinds of theology. You and I have differences on so many different things having to do with church life, with interpretation of the word, with what we believe about the ministry of the Spirit today. All I want to say is this. I want to say this plainly. The name of Jesus is higher than every other name, and the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And we should be seeing a demonstration of God's power in transforming lives, should we not? So my bottom line for today, friends, let us take hold of God and ask him, demonstrate the power of the gospel of Jesus in my life. Demonstrate the power of the gospel of Jesus so the world can see my life changed. God, where is the power of the gospel? We're not seeking silly things. We're not seeking sensationalism. We're not seeking a show. We're seeking God, that he would glorify the name of Jesus in us and through us so that the world might see and know that Jesus is alive from the dead. That's what it's all about. Not my group, your ministry, your denomination, my denomination. It's about the name of Jesus, Yeshua, being exalted, that the Jewish people, that the Gentile people, that the people who identify as Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and atheists and nominal Christians worldwide will come to know the real Savior, the risen one, the eternal one, the Lord of all, the King of kings, that they would come to see that he is alive. Where is the evidence in my life, in your life, in our churches, our congregations, our ministries? Where is the evidence that Jesus has risen from the dead? That's what the world needs to see. And I tell you, it'll cut through the resistance. It'll cut through the opposition. It'll cut through the mockery. And people will come to know the real Jesus. Where is the power of the gospel? Friends, again, 800-278-9978 if you need prayer. Or to get copies of Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and it's time to rock the boat. Visit us at askdrbrown.org today. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but a matter of power. My question is, where is the power of the gospel today? What you're about to hear will stir you, encourage you, and challenge you.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I hope you're ready to be encouraged. I hope you're ready to be challenged. I hope you're ready to have your faith stirred. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Again, welcome to all of our new listeners in Atlanta on WNIV and Tampa, WTBN, Portland, KPDQ, and Honolulu, KGU. We'll be welcoming more listeners a little later in the broadcast. But thank you for joining us today. Those that have been our faithful listeners over the years in other states, you may be wondering, how come you're starting right now? Don't you know you start 5 minutes later? We're on a new clock. It actually gets me a few more minutes to be with you every hour. Join me on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. We've got a neat picture of me holding up A Queer Thing Happened to America. My book, worked on for 6+ years, just came out yesterday. We've got a nice picture on Facebook, and you can find out how to order it right there. Later today, we will have free online my debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering, a 2-hour video you can watch. That'll be on the AskDrBrown.org homepage, and we encourage you to tune in and watch that, because it will deal with some of the tragedy, some of the horrific suffering taking place in Japan right now. Rather than just touching that in a perfunctory way, I want to give you a 2-hour resource that you can watch and be edified by. But I'm going to play some excerpts from an interview just conducted with Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, a man who has preached the gospel, from my estimation, to more human beings than anyone who's ever lived, and is quite humble about it because Jesus is the celebrity. And I want to ask you a question. I want to talk with you about this today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to get your take on something, all right? We hear these reports about the power of God setting people free, thousands of Muslims being saved in single meetings. We hear about lives being transformed. Reinhard Bonnke told me about meetings in Sudan where a deaf-mute Muslim was healed, and crowds grew from 30,000 to 50,000 to 80,000 to 130,000 to, according to the government people in Khartoum, to 1 million. And it was because the power of God touched a Muslim. Here's my question. Paul said the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but of power. Yes? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. In other words, it's not just talk. Talk is cheap, is it not? We can all talk a lot. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, transgression is not lacking, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Talk is cheap. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. If we speak words in the name of Jesus, they need to be power-filled words. I'm not talking about everything has to sound like power, power, or some, you know, screaming TV preacher. No. It can be a quiet. It can be a whisper. It's not the performance. The performance is not the power. The showiness is not the power. The flash, the presentation, the production. What a great production at church today. What a great performance by the pastor, the worship team. No. It's not about that at all. It's not about that. It's about the name of Jesus being lifted up in simplicity and in truth. And here's my question. Paul wrote that the gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth is given to him. Again, Paul's words, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. So here's my question. Why is it that it seems that God moves so powerfully in some other countries, that he moves so dramatically in some other countries, that people are so dramatically saved and touched by the power of God, and we seem not to see that so much in America? Why do you think that is? 866-34-TRUTH. Play some excerpts from Reverend Bonnke's interview, and then take your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends. Michael Brown here on The Line of Fire with my special guest, Reinhard Bonnke. If you've got a question for Evangelist Bonnke, I may be able to take some calls later in the show. 866-34-TRUTH. Truth online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire for a link to Reverend Bonnke's website, his Facebook page, and his extraordinary biography, Living a Life of Fire. Reinhard, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on the program today.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael. I'm It's an honor for me.
Oh, well, it's our joy and privilege to have you with us. You have preached, as far as I can tell, to more human beings than anyone else who ever lived. Do you think that might be a fair estimate?
Well, I would never claim that, but the figures that we have, what shall I say, the people we have been able to gather, and the counts that were made, not just estimations, are absolutely awesome. And since every human being is one reason for whom Jesus died, the more people we can gather to hear the gospel, the better and the happier.
And you had one meeting in Nigeria where it was recorded. People actually handed in cards and prayed that 1 million people turned to the Lord in one service in Nigeria. Is that true?
Yes, that is absolutely true. I was bowled over. That day, 1,600,000 people attended the service that was in Lagos in Nigeria. We had 200,000 counselors out in the field. They're always among the people because we can call nobody forward. And when the count was made, I only received the figure the following day because it took a long time to count the completed decision cards after they had been handed in. There were 1,093,000 and something. It was in fulfillment to a prophecy that God had given to me about 20 years earlier through Kenneth Copeland.
And what was that prophecy?
The prophecy was, at that time when I met Kenneth in South Africa, I had never preached to a bigger crowd than 50,000 people. So he prophesied that the day would come in which I would see 1 million souls saved in one meeting. And my own team member said, you know, maybe God meant in one crusade, that is always 6 days and not just one meeting. I said, no, God said one meeting, and I believe it will happen in one meeting. And this is what happened in one meeting. It proved to me how God can shrink time to bring the harvest in.
And to get a crowd that big, I know the government estimate, they put it at several million people, and your account, done very accurately scientifically, said 1.6 million people. But folks may be listening and wondering, they're used to things in America where we have all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of special things to bring the people in. What kind of gimmicks do you use to draw such large crowds there in Africa?
Well, there are no gimmicks. I don't believe in gimmicks, and I also don't believe in exaggerations. I believe exaggerations are another form of lying. I have been very conscientious in counting our crowds right from the day I started. And we soon learned how to count a crowd. I have one very special man of God, my right-hand man in the team, Peter Vandenberg. And when the preacher preaches, he roams the field where the people are, and he measures the density of the people. I, from the platform, cannot see the gaps between the people, and may easily say, here are 3 or 4 or 5 million people, whereas there are only 1.6 million people. But he measures the density in different areas. We know we have the exact dimensions of the field, and then in the end we have, I believe, a correct number, plus minus 5%.
All right, those are staggering numbers. I've seen some of these crowds. A student of ours, a grad from our ministry school, is now preaching to these same crowds, taking over much of the overseas preaching for Reverend Bonnke. He's in these crowds night after night after night. I would think it's many, many, many more people when you see the pictures. So they look at this very carefully. But when Reinhard Bonnke was preaching in Africa with no success in a small country in Africa, limited or no success. He's preaching to five people in a mud hut, preaching his heart out, and nobody responds. Nobody responds. You got to remember, he didn't start preaching to hundreds of millions of people. He started preaching to handfuls of people and just going out wherever he could. He preaches to five people. Nobody responds, and he has a dream, and then God speaks it to him four straight nights. Africa shall be saved. He sees a blood-washed Africa, and of course, God's been moving mightily in the continent of Africa through the 20th century into the 21st century. Many countries that had 0% Christian or 1% Christian, and they were all animist, Muslim, they are now primarily Christian, at least in profession, in Africa. This has been happening in many places, including many of the countries where Evangelist Bonnke has served. And here's my question for you. You may be listening, and you may be completely skeptical that such things happen today. You may say, according to the Bible, miracles and all that have ceased. That may be your view. You may say, well, I think when the gospel goes to a new area the first time and the name of Jesus is preached, that it's right for people to see the power of God, and maybe their healings and miracles, maybe that happens. Others should say, no, we see that all the time. I'm sure among those listening to me right now, we've got all of these different views, and many of you could give good scriptural arguments. Here's my question for you, very simply this. And if you listen to Reinhard Bonnke's message, it is as basic a gospel message as you could hear. Turn to Jesus, turn from your sins. He will save you, he'll forgive you, he'll wash you, he'll cleanse you. And evangelism must be plugged into the local church. That's his life message, that you must work with the local churches so that there's a lasting harvest, because the Great Commission is to go and make disciples. Here's my question for you. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And I welcome all kinds of different viewpoints. They are welcome. Why is it that we can hear about these things happening in Africa? And they really are happening. One of my friends is a physician that attended meetings in Nigeria as one of the doctors that would verify the miracle reports and do their best to investigate and see if these things were so. And he said there were so many thousands of people reporting testimonies and people jumping up and down with joy about this relative who was blind, this relative who was crippled, who was now healed, and they were praising Jesus. Here's my question. Why do those kinds of things happen in Africa, but they don't happen the same level here in America? Hey, if you want to call in and say the whole thing's counterfeit, the whole thing's bogus, it's not real, feel free to air your viewpoint, and we'll hear you out. Or that Scripture says we shouldn't expect these things anymore. Or if for those who believe that this is real and for today, what's holding back the power of God here in America? Again, I want to say this plainly. I'm not talking about some type of a show. I'm not talking about sensationalism. I'm not talking about some preacher strutting on the stage and everybody praising the preacher. I mean, God forbid any of us would want something like that. I'm not talking about the latest scene maybe from Christian TV, be it good or bad. I'm simply talking about where we live in our own lives. Where's the power of the gospel? Let's even put healing aside for the moment to transform lives. Where's the power of the gospel to really liberate people, to shake communities? Do you think we should be seeing that? Do you think this is something God wants to do in us and through us? You think this is something for today? If so, what's getting in the way? 866-34-TRUTH. I wrote a book, came out in 1991, Whatever Happened to the Power of God. It asked the question, is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? Then I followed that up with another book called It's Time to Rock the Boat, Call to God's People to Rise Up and Preach a Confrontational Gospel. We'll tell you about these resources later in the program. They will stir your heart, though. They will help you. They will light a fire in you. If you're going to be checking out soon, give us a call at 800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to find out these two books for the price of one. But when we come back, I want to take your calls. And here's my goal today. My goal is to get us asking some good, serious questions so that we can get some good, serious answers. Because here's the bottom line for me. If God has promised more to glorify Jesus, if God has promised more for his people, not for our selfish means, but so that we can go and make a difference in this world and glorify Jesus in the midst of a dying world, shouldn't we take advantage of everything God has for us? Back with more right here on the Line of Fire. God changed the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. I shared my testimony briefly yesterday from LSD to PhD. If you'd like to watch all of it, we've got a TV version that we did for our documentary TV show, Think It Through, message where I preached it, and then you can read it as well from LSD to PhD. As we're talking about the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel to transform lives and asking where is the power of the gospel. Great to hear about it in Africa, but where is it today? I believe my testimony will minister to you. So go to askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, and you'll see those linked to yesterday's show. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, simple question we're asking. Let's think about it like this. You read the Bible, right? You're reading the Bible. You're seeing about God radically changing lives. I understand that the Bible is emphasizing many of the miraculous, amazing things that God did and not necessarily telling you about every detail of everybody's personal lives and the ups and downs. But the letters, the epistles, they show us the church is far from perfect. First believers far from perfect. The words of Jesus to the congregations in Asia Minor, Revelation 2 and 3, they show us that believers had their blemishes and issues and problems then. What I wonder about is you read something there in the New Testament, and here it talks about the reality of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit that we've been given as a token of the resurrection life, as a token of the glorious resurrection of Jesus and what he has in store for us, that the Spirit has been given us as a deposit. You think, is this it? Is what I have everything God promised? You know, it's often good to get stirred to a holy discontent. It's often good to have your heart and mind stirred in such a way that you say, you know, I think there's more that God has. I think God could use me more powerfully to touch people. I think that there's more to the gospel of Jesus than we are seeing. There's more to the demonstration of the power of God than we're seeing. Again, we're not talking about some type of carnival sideshow. We're talking about the risen Jesus really touching and changing lives. So my question, where is the power of the gospel? Why can we hear an extraordinary testimony like we did from Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke about millions of people coming to faith and the power of God setting them free in Africa? And yet we don't seem to see that taking place in America. Richard in Jacksonville, you're first up today on the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Dr. Brown, I feel that we as Americans have become too complacent about our faith. We had options to go to church if we like or not go. And in some places where thousands of millions of people come to faith, that's their only hope. I mean, they've exhausted all other opportunities that they have. But when an event like that comes into their surroundings, they will walk a mile to just to be in their presence and hope, you know, to get so that they can get salvation. Whereas we take it for granted, some of us won't even walk across the street to go to church because we have taken everything so passionately. We've had everything handed to us. So we're just complacent with our faith. Even those of us that are saved, we don't go to church or we don't pray or read the Bible. It's no big deal to us. We just say, well, I'll do that later.
Richard, you make a profound observation. In my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, I have a chapter called Connoisseur Christians and a Gourmet Gospel. And I talk about, you know, just how connoisseur we've become. Oh, don't like this. Oh, don't like that. And, hey, you know, the church down the block doesn't suit me. You know, the parking, it's not good parking there. And plus, the pastor's funnier over here. But, you know, the children's program is better over here. You know, I think I'll just watch the guy at home and switch from channel to channel. The spiritual hunger you're talking about in Africa, I've seen in India, where people will walk for miles, sometimes for days, to get to a meeting to hear the name of Jesus or to bring a sick person for prayer in the name of Jesus. It's very different than a lot of the complacent Christianity that we have here in America.
Oh, yes, it is. And, I mean, that's one of my observations. We're so complacent. To use your word, we are connoisseur Christians. The least little thing that we find in church we don't like, we just get up and go to another church. We don't pray about it. Well, most of us don't pray about it. We just decide we don't like certain situation. I've heard some people left the church because they didn't want to sit in certain areas. It reminds me of we take public transportation for granted because 90% of us have cars. Well, they might walk for 10 miles just to get on the bus route to catch a bus. You know, and so we wouldn't dare do that. We just wouldn't go.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
Richard, a great observation, and thank you for the call. You are right on in what you're saying. Do you agree with Richard's assessment? Well, I sure do, that there's a lot more hunger in other parts of the world spiritually, that people that are in the midst of a famine will cherish a drop of water a whole lot more than many of us will. That, you know, you just think in the tragedy in Japan right now, some people barely with water, without water for a couple of days, and they get some water. That water is going to feel a lot different to them today than it would have, just a week ago. I wonder if with all the materialism here in America, with, you know, maybe the biggest disappointment you had last week was that the iPad 2 sold out before you could get one. Maybe the biggest disappointment was that in the midst of a big game, the 48-inch TV screen, you know, flat-screen TV, there was a problem with cable and the signal got messed up. Hey, I'm not saying to feel guilty if you've got the 48-inch TV or if you got an iPad 2. I'm not saying to feel guilty in the least. I like new technology and all that stuff, and I can enjoy an occasional time of relaxation with family watching sports. But I wonder, in the midst of a very materialistic culture, in the midst of a culture where, come on, think of when you're first saved, the first Bible you had. The first Bible you had. Think of that. And you started reading that Bible. How amazing it was. I had a King James Bible. It was not a special study edition. It was not a leather edition. And I think I read that Bible and devoured it more than any Bible I've ever had. Reading over and over and hours and memorizing scripture, words of life. Now, I mean, I'm looking around my office. I've got bookshelves with Bible after Bible after Bible in multiple translation, multiple edition, let alone the hundreds or thousands of commentaries and all this other stuff. And then on my Bible software, God knows how many more translations and versions and all this that I have. And you have so much, and yet it seems that the hunger, the thirst, the desire is not the same. And that perhaps, I don't mean that we need famine, hardship to make us hungry, but perhaps we need a bit of a personal awakening, personal jarring. Perhaps we are used to church as usual, believing life as usual, messianic congregation as usual, home group as usual, whatever it is, Bible study as usual, private time as usual. Perhaps we need a bit of a personal awakening to stir our own hearts. Perhaps we need to ask God, where's the power of the gospel in my own life? Perhaps rather than looking out at the nation and looking at how sinful and backslidden so much of the nation is, perhaps the thing to do is look at our own hearts, look at our own lives, and say, God, where's the demonstration of the resurrection of Jesus in my life, my marriage, my home, my ministry? Back with more right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking today about the power of the gospel. You might be non-charismatic, you may be charismatic, you may believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today, you may believe the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. But if you're a follower of Jesus, certainly you believe in the power of the gospel. Certainly you believe that the resurrection of Jesus should be something demonstrable in our lives, that people should be able to look at us and see lives that are different, that people should see the reality of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Earlier today, I conducted an interview with evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, a man who has seen tens of millions of people profess faith in Jesus, turn from idols. I've been in meetings where the people make restitution. They bring stolen items back to meetings where they bring their idols and things and burn them in the fire as they turn to Jesus. he's seen multiple thousands of Muslims, tens of thousands, turn to Jesus in meetings. It's the power of the gospel. You'll be able to listen to that interview later in the day if you go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire. You'll be able to listen to that entire interview from earlier today. But I'm asking the question. It's wonderful to hear about God moving in Africa, and it's wonderful to hear about God moving in different parts of the world, or God moving in communist China. We have a lot of our grads from Fire School of Ministry who serve in communist China. And behind the scenes, they tell us the wonderful things that God is doing there. Where's the power of the gospel here in America? Why? Listen, can I be straight with you? Why is it over there but not here? Why is it yesterday but not today? Why is it tomorrow but not today? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, welcome to our brand new listeners on WFIL Philadelphia, WHKW in Cleveland, KRKS in Denver, KPXQ in Phoenix, and KPRZ in San Diego. Welcome to the Line of Fire. I would not have come to faith if it was just lovely preaching and lovely teaching, lovely singing, beautiful building. That didn't matter to me. I was a heroin-shooting, rebellious 16-year-old rock drummer and Jewish on top of it. Still, I'm Jewish, none of the rest, but I'm Jewish. I would not have been brought in. I wouldn't turn from that sin. You say, yeah, but you were strung out. You're looking for help. No, I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change. I loved my sin at that point. I was not deep enough in sin over a period of years to have really paid the full price for it, if that makes sense to you. I wasn't in jail. I hadn't seen a lot of friends die of drug overdoses. I didn't get beat up on the streets or something like that. So, yeah, there was some slight penalty I was paying, but it was really very, very minor. What drew me in, was first the Holy Spirit convicting me of my sin. I tell you, I sinned freely for 2 years. I sinned freely without the slightest feeling of guilt for 2 years. As shameful as this is, I boasted about stealing money from my own father, a wonderful, dear-hearted man. Can you believe that? I boasted about that. I boasted about deceiving my best friends, tricking them out of money and drug deals and stuff like that. The Holy Spirit began to convict me. And then God revealed his love for me. A love that was so deep and profound that in a moment of time, I said, I'll never put a needle in my arm. Again, I shared some of my testimony with you yesterday on the show. It's the power of the gospel touching me and changing me in a real dynamic and dramatic way. If it was just churchianity, that wouldn't have had any more impact on me than just going to a synagogue. Where's the power of the gospel? Why is God doing these things in other parts of the world, not here? Or do you not believe that it's even happening in other parts of the world? 866-34-TRUTH, Valeria in Decatur, Georgia. You'll be up first on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's the deal. For 3 years, I have been doing this radio show, The Line of Fire. And the music comes on and I greet everyone. But there is now an announcer greeting everyone. And I jumped in prematurely, but I am delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. My simple question, where's the power of the gospel today? We can divide between us, charismatic, non-charismatic. We can like different kinds of services and all that. I just want to know, where's the power of the gospel today? If it's true that God is saving multitudes of people so extraordinarily in other countries around the world, why do we see so little of it here? 866-34-TRUTH. My website is AskDrBrown.org. May I encourage you to visit there? We've got hundreds of hours of free resources that'll really help you. The very questions we're asking today, we've got hundreds of hours of free resources that will help you, that will stir you, all on the website, AskDrBrown.org, as well as our online bookstore with resources you can purchase. And then later today, we'll be putting online for free my two-hour debate with Professor Bart Ehrman about the problem of suffering that you'll find very relevant to what's happening in Japan. Before we go to the phones here, yesterday was her anniversary. We had a lovely night out, Nancy and I, with her younger daughter and her husband. Lovely dinner out, time together. But on the way home, I wanted to get her some flowers, and it was a little surprise. Ran into the grocery store, which just had a nice little flower section there, and really nice roses. And there's actually two little bouquets of roses in a vase, and it looked like each one was $9.95, and the vase $3.95, and the checkout lady said, no, it's all just $9.95. Take it. I thought, this is cool. I brought them home carefully. I presented them to Nancy. I said, can you believe I got all this for $9.95? We were laughing, and then she takes the spell. She said, do you realize they're not real? Oh, they look nice. Great deal. And the cool thing is they will last for a long time. So that's part of my anniversary adventure. All right. Where is the power of the gospel, the real gospel that radically changes lives? Let's go to Valeria listening on WNIV, our first WNIV caller from Atlanta. Thanks for being part of the program today.
Hi, I'm glad to be a part of it. The thing you said about the roses, that could be very well true about us.
Oh, yeah.
There are some of us that are invitation and some of us that are real.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to propose five things, and I'm going to listen to you. A lot of times, we don't look to Christ when we have a problem. We always look around us to someone else. We don't know him, one. Number two, we took God out of school, so why should he keep investing in us? He got us started out right, which is why we're so prosperous, regardless of our mistakes. Like you said in the Word, you see a lot of men that made mistakes, but yet God prospered them and he worked with them. Okay, but with us, we constantly, something happens and we don't turn to God. We don't humble ourselves like he said to us in Chronicle. I can't remember exactly where it is that we should humble ourselves,
sure.
Turn
Second
from our
Chronicles,
wicked ways.
Yeah, 2 Chronicles 7:14, of course.
Right. And so then the other thing is, if we're not saved, how can we reach others? We don't have the goods, you know. Hey, an imitation flower can't get what, I mean, you know, your wife was thankful for the flowers and all.
Uh-huh.
It was nice,
yeah,
for the gestures, but in your heart, you wanted what was real. But
yes,
it ended up something else, so you got, you know, to be grateful anyway, because the Lord said be content. Okay. So then the other thing is, we think so much of ourselves. We have so much pride because it has never been dealt with. You know, whereas in other places, the people are struggling and going through so many. So thinking so much of themselves is the last thing they think about. They're trying to eat. And
yeah,
the other thing is that the hearts are so hardened that the Word, which is true, it's the Word, the truth of the Word that makes us free. But because our hearts have been so hardened, we got so many pastors, many well, but they just preaching up on top of hardened hearts with a lot of intellect. We know the Word backwards and forwards, but is it in our hearts? It's only the truth that'll make you free, and the truth is the Word of God. And do we believe the truth? If we did, we would see miracles. And I'm going to shut up.
All right, Valerie, Valera, hang on. I want to send you, as a first caller from WNIV, one of our new stations that just came on this week, I want to send you a free copy. It's two books in one, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. I want to sow this into your life as a free gift. So someone's going to come on in a moment and get your name and address so we can send this to you. All right? Amen to what you had to say, Valeria. Amen to what you had to say. Do we realize how saturated we are with things outside of God and his Word? I understand your mom at home changing diapers with a baby and homeschooling three kids. I understand. I understand, sir, you're taking on a second job just to pay bills and you're living modestly. I understand that. I'm not saying that all of us have 12 hours a day to be in the Word and prayer. I'm not saying that all of us can be doing 40-day fasts. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this. We are, for the most part, so saturated with the things of the world. Hey, if I'm wrong, call me and correct me. Call me and set me right. Call me and say, that does not apply to me and our congregation, our fellowship. Your average teenager, and I love teenagers. I love young people because I got saved at 16, and I poured into college-age young people for years in our ministry school. Of course, we have older folks in the school as well, but I've been around college-age folks for years. Your average teenager in America today, professing faith in Jesus, is far more influenced by what's in the movies than by what's in the Bible. The normal ethical standard of your average American teenager is whatever. And they learned that from their parents. Ooh. It's a book came out by a seminary professor called Almost Christian. I did a review of it last year and did a show on it. I was amazed at the prophetic penetration in this book where she talked about the superficial nature of our faith. I mean, basically, the main goal of the gospel is to be nice, you know, to get along with people. It's fine to be nice, but is that the gospel? Where's the power to transform lives? I mean, why is it it seems that we have the same sins in the church that we have in the world? Some of you have been ravaged by a divorce. You fought for your marriage. You were destroyed by a divorce. You're holding on for your family for restoration. My heart goes out to you. I'm not speaking to you right now. But we have rampant no-fault divorce in the church. We have rampant pornography in the church. We have rampant ministerial failure in the church. We have rampant worldliness in the church. We are often, let's check over the course of a day, just to check on yourself, not to get legalistic, but Paul says 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourself. Let's just check at the end of a day how much time we spent, quality time with God, feasting on the Word, taking in the Word, praying, meeting with Him, quality time with God, as opposed to, say, surfing the net or answering non-essential emails or texting or updating our status on Facebook or watching the latest movie or sitcom or endless news or whatever the TV is or the video or movie. Just check the end of a day, check the end of a week, and see. I'm not trying to lay a trip on anyone. I'm just trying to point out that we are really saturated with the world, saturated with worldly images, saturated with worldly music, saturated with worldly thoughts, saturated with a lot of carnal stuff. And then a lot of the Christian stuff we take in is just kind of like a pep talk. Praise the pep talk, Christianity. Just feel better about life. Everybody happy, happy, happy. As opposed to how to really live as a disciple. How to live this thing out. That disturbs me. That grieves me. I'm part of this American church. I say we, not you. I say we. We need to go to God and say, Lord, there's more. We need to read the Word. I suggested this yesterday. I'll say it again today. We need to read the Word as if it's true. And when Jesus gives us his radical commands as to what it means to be a disciple, to say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to live this thing out. I'm hungry for the real thing. I know there must be more. And I do not want to get caught up like the church of Laodicea that said, I'm rich, increased in wealth, have need of nothing. And Jesus says to that church, you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I don't want that said to me, to the congregation I'm part of, to the ministry and work I'm part of. I want to see the real Jesus living in real power in my life. So my Jewish friends, so my Gentile friends, so my non-believing friends, my non-believing enemies can see that our gospel is real. Stay tuned for a special announcement and then a whole lot more to come on the other side of the break. Years ago, I wrote a book called Whatever Happened to the Power of God? Is the Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count? And then I followed that up with another book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, a call to God's people to rise up and preach a confrontational gospel. These books have been out of print for some years. They are now back in print. Two books in one, two books for the price of one. They will rock your world. They will ask the questions you've always asked, and they will challenge you with radical biblical answers. You can get two books today for the price of one by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Whatever happened to the power of God, and it's time to rock the boat. 1-800-278-9978. God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Almost did it again. I almost started to announce myself. I heard that music. It's like reflex. You hear the music. I've been hearing this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times through the years. Just about ready to say something in it. Nope. Here comes the announcer. Well, this is Michael Brown. This is The Line of Fire. If you are used to a different show at this hour, I'm glad you're with us. I believe God appointed you to be listening at this moment. Ooh, that's spooky. No, I believe that. Come on, we pray for listeners. We pray that we'll be able to minister to you and help you. That's why we're on the radio, to talk to you, to strengthen your life so you can go out and be a world changer. Stir your heart, tell you the truth so that you can make a difference. That's why we're here. We're not here to play games. It's a challenge for everyone. It's a sacrifice for everyone. We do this joyfully because we want to see Jesus glorified while we have breath. My website, AskDrBrown.org, or connect with me on Facebook. Why not do that? Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. We're posting stuff there throughout the day, the latest article from our Voice of Revolution online magazine, latest audio message for me, updates from the radio program, updates in other ministry we're doing, and you can see a picture of me holding the brand new book that came out yesterday, A Queer Thing Happened to America. You'll hear much more about that tomorrow. But on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, there's a picture of me holding A Queer Thing Happened to America. Books came out yesterday. We are thrilled to get them out to you. Our question today, where's the power of the gospel? What happened to the power of the gospel? We're not just talking about words, rituals. We're not just talking about hyped up performance. We're not talking about something humans can produce. We're talking about something only God can do. Why is it you read church history and see so much of what God did in the past? You see the biblical pattern. You see what God's doing in other parts of the world, and maybe we've seen seasons of it here in America, but on a regular basis, come on, let's be honest. There's a lot of talk, but not a lot of power. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. Where is the power of the gospel? Our Ryan in Cleveland, Ohio, that would be WHKW. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
I'm blessed, man. Thank you for calling.
Good. Hey, you know, you're talking about where is the power of the gospel in modern churches today. Well, you know, the problem that's happening is something that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, starting in verse 21, where it says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, what this is it's called false conversion. You know, there's people out there that are professing to be Christian, but in reality, they are what Jesus called goats and wolves inside the church. It was never meant for people who were not Christian to come inside the church. And the problem with the American church is that most churches are reaching out to them by, you know, using big praise bands, you know, all these different type of things to get them into the church, make them happy. They're trying to satisfy the flesh instead of satisfying the spirit. And that's why we're seeing this problem of so many churches, so many people that claim to be Christian but do not have any likeness to Christ whatsoever.
So in other words, we are trying to get people in our buildings or people in our group and maybe preaching part of the message, but we're not really relying on the power of the Spirit to convict. We're not really relying on the power of the message of Jesus crucified and Him risen. We're not relying on the Holy Spirit to deal with people. Basically, if we can put on a good enough show, we can recruit them to be part of our organization. Is that what you see happening a lot?
That is exactly it. You know, a lot of times when you ask a believer, a Christian, you know, what do you say when you're sharing the gospel with someone? A lot of them will say, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, try that on September 10th, 2011. You're sitting in the World Trade Center, and you have the opportunity to share the gospel with everyone in there. Do you tell them that God has a wonderful plan for your life, knowing that in 24 hours they're going to die? No, it's not the right message. It's not the message that was preached by Jesus or by the apostles in the Bible. There is a true gospel message out there, but that is not it.
Yeah, and in point of fact, you see the message in the New Testament of repentance and faith. Turn from your sins, turn to God. He'll forgive you. I mean, the glorious truth is God does love the human race, and in Jesus, there is a wonderful plan, but it's not the American dream, and it's not this wonderful Jesus that caters to me, you know, the heavenly bellboy, and I snap my fingers, and Jesus, do this for me and make my life happy. In point of fact, following Jesus often means hardship, persecution, even death. Hey, Ryan, we are out of time, but thank you, sir, for the call. It's great to chat with you today, and keep listening. I'm looking at some quotes here in this. It's two volumes, one, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. I wish I had the power just to multiply these freely. I mean, we have to get them from a publisher, and it's the same as anybody else, but I wish I had the power to multiply these freely and put them in every one of your hands. The quotes in here from others historically in the past are so stirring. And I'm looking at a chapter that ties in with exactly what Ryan was talking about. It's called Separating the Wheat from the Chaff. Listen to some of these quotes. Robert Murray McShane: the most of God's people are contented to be saved from the hell that is without. They are not so anxious to be saved from the hell that is within. John Wesley, when he was asked how he drew the crowds: I set myself on fire, and the people come to see me burn. George Whitefield said, speak every time, my dear brothers, if it were your last. Weep out, if possible, every argument, and compel them to cry, behold how he loves us. Leonard Ravenhill: we need a trumpet voice again to tell sluggish believers that God requires holiness of his people. There is a famine of true holiness preaching. And, oh, I love this gospel message from Robert Murray McShane. You are all guilt. He has a fountain to wash you. You are all naked. He has a wedding garment to cover you. You are dead. He is the life. You are all wounds and bruises. He is the balm of Gilead. Friends, here is my bottom line for today. The greatest message, the most powerful message, the most awesome message, the most extraordinary message that we could ever preach, that anyone could ever hear, is that God sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. That we who rebelled, that we who were guilty, that we who spit in the face of a holy God could not only receive mercy, but could receive a new life, could receive righteousness, could become sons and daughters of God and heirs together with Jesus. It's extraordinary. But there's something even more. He transforms us. Jesus not only forgives us from our sins, he frees us from our sins. Jesus not only deals with the penalty of sin, but also the power of sin. And I want to encourage you to explore the glorious gospel of Jesus. I want to encourage you to open the Word and to believe what God says and to ask him, God, where is the power of the gospel? If the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but the kingdom of God is a matter of power, where is the power of the gospel, the demonstration of the resurrection of Jesus? Lord, show it in my life that I can show it to this dying world. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. It is a delight to be with you 5 days a week here on The Line of Fire. Join me at AskDrBrown.org. Check the resources on the homepage today for my debate with Bart Ehrman that will help you with the problem of suffering, what's happening in Japan. Explore the resources, get the books, get the materials, and let's start a revolution.